Today, I plan to talk on civilization and non-civilization. Non-civilization, meaning the semblance of civilization, or that which is considered to be civilization by people who consider themselves to be civilized people, but who from the platform of reality, of understanding our actual spiritual nature, are nothing more than sophisticated animals. Now, human beings live together. Man is a social animal. Most animals, birds, or whatever, they cooperate with each other in groups. Not all, but most of them have some kind of society. So what is the difference between a society, say, of crows or squirrels? That's also not so much society, but they squirrels mostly work in pairs, don't they? Dogs go in packs. What is the difference between just a society of people who come together and civilization? Society means that when people become a little more advanced, according to evolutionary theory, the original human society were hunters and gatherers. They hunted flesh food, and they gathered whatever fruits or roots that they found, which are just growing here and there. And then, as the story goes, as they became more sophisticated, then they discovered agriculture, and gradually, and then they domesticated some animals to help with the agriculture, had some basic tools which they used, and gradually there was a specialization within society of, for instance, farmers and farm owners and farm laborers and tool makers, and then we had tools made from stone and bronze, and then iron, which means discovering how to extract metal from ore, combine it, iron and then bronze. And then gradually there were specialists, and everyone cooperates together, and then there are merchants. And as society becomes more sophisticated, then clothing and more than a bearskin and different kinds of fashions and clothing, not simply to cover the body, but to decorate the body, and hairstyles and speech developed according to the theory. And various civilizations arose. And the difference between just society, people living together in a primitive way and grunting at each other, is that in society there is, in sophisticated society, there is organization with codes of behavior, specified codes of behavior. There is stratification. Different people have different roles. Some are in a superior role, some are in a subordinate role. This was all later challenged by Marx and Engels. Why should anyone be superior? But this is civilization. And then gradually comes entertainments, sports, art, music, philosophy, and civilized behavior means to speak in a polite manner, because even within society there are grades of people, and there are the rough artisan types are not expected to be very civilized or cultured, but those who are more civilized, they dress in fine clothing and they are well educated in abstract topics, not simply how to make a tool or some other. Artisans are also educated. They learn how to, for instance, make tools and how to use them. But the more cultured people, they dress in very fine clothes, which are made by expert weavers who don't necessarily wear the fine clothes because they can't afford them. And this is considered very civilized. In recent times in human society, the English-speaking people, specifically the British, conquered large areas of the earth by various means, by their intelligence, their vigorous and enterprising nature, by their intelligence, how to overcome, and not just by military might, but by organization, by technology, they were able to outdo others, and this has carried over so that we have at the present time America, very powerful country, and considered itself to be the most powerful country in the world, which is challenged now by a country which has a more ancient civilization, China. But still the basic concept of civilization, cultured behavior, you speak with cultured people among themselves, they speak very politely, they're very considerate, they eat fine foods in a delicate way. There's just like there's an etiquette when you're drinking your or taking your soup in the Western world, or at least in the supposed to be, if you go to dine with the President of America, he has to be taught these things probably also. You have to tip your soup bowl away from you as you lift it up and put your spoon in, and then you drink the soup, which is one of the symptoms of a gentleman listed on the internet. He's not a vegetarian, if you want to be considered a vegetarian. How you talk, how you walk, how you dress, and a real gentleman of the sophisticated society is not a vegetarian, which I presume also means not a vegan, but they know how to talk in a polite way. And eat sophisticated foods. They don't eat shepherd's pie or steak and kidney pie or bangers and mash, but they eat steak fillets and things like that. Ugh. Hare Krishna. Things coming up from my past. This is considered civilization. To do things in a... basically animalistic activities in what is considered a sophisticated way. After all, dressing nicely is to display the body for pleasing the opposite sex. Eating nice food, you're eating the dead bodies of others. That's not very civilized, to maintain slaughterhouses. And they say, well, that is very civilized. That's very advanced, you see. We get the animals, and it's very sophisticated that nowadays we have arrangements whereby everyone can eat meat. Previously, it was only on rare occasions, but now we have a whole arrangement whereby everyone can eat meat and they can get protein and become big and strong. And it's very good. We have these slaughterhouses in which the animals are killed humanely. But this is not civilized. What is the difference between a human and an animal? If we say that man and animal, difference between a man is civilized, but animals, they eat, they sleep, they experience fear, and therefore they fight, or they have arrangements to defend themselves and arrangements to attack others if they feel stronger. And they engage in sex. And humans do the same thing. And if humans have a very sophisticated arrangement to do so, then is that civilization? Is that really something so laudable that we arrange our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in a way that is more organized than that of the animals? From an ancient civilization, which is not really considered civilization at all, but by the presently civilized people, the Vedic civilization, prevalent in India, is not considered civilized. There was a series on BBC, TV series, years ago, called Civilization. And it was only about Western civilization. It didn't even recognize the fact that there's a possibility of civilization beyond Europe and the Anglosphere, and specifically Western Europe. So that's typical. The dog thinks I'm a better dog than everyone else. So when some civilization in the course of time, some people are prominent, then others become prominent. Egyptians, Babylonians, Carthaginians, Scythians. Whoever heard of the Scythians? They had a huge empire at one point in time. And it goes on like that. At the present time, it's the Chinese had civilization and technology when people in Europe were in the darkness as far as knowledge and even organization of society was concerned. And whoever's the most sophisticated or who's the most powerful in time, because due to karma, different races of people, they come on top and then they go down. They consider we're the best that ever was and ever will be. And we will always be on top. This is their foolishness. So, going back to the Vedic civilization, it is stated in Hitopadesha, a book which literally means beneficial instruction. So one of the verses is Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitunam Cha Samanam Etat Pashubhyanaranam Dharmo Hitesham Atiko Vishesham Dharmena Hina Pashubhyanaranam. Humans, and the translation, humans and animals both eat, sleep, fear, and engage in sex. And fear can be extrapolated to fighting and all this. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and attacking. What is possible in human life, but not in animal life, is dharmohitesham, to understand what is dharma, or another alternative word is gyanam hitesham. No, knowledge, which here means not knowledge of how to build buildings in a more complicated way, but knowledge of intrinsic reality. And dharma means acting in knowledge of what is intrinsic reality. So real civilization means we made an arrangement to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in a relatively organized way. There's making the arrangement to eat, sleep, mate, and defend more and more complex does not mean advancement of civilization. Advancement of civilization means when our arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and protecting, which also includes building houses to protect from the cold and the heat and the wind and the rain and dangerous animals and dangerous humans. So when we've got those arrangements, make that organized and simple. It's not that we should, our whole endeavor should be for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And then, okay, then what do you do? What's the next thing you do? Have a fashion show. Have a Olympic Games tournament. Make a war against someone else. Dream up doodles. What's the next thing you do? The next thing, one should come to the point of philosophy, understanding the truth. Specifically, who are we? What is the world? Why are we here? What happens after death? Who is God? Sophisticated philosophers rule out God. Genuine philosophers do not. The spiritual dimension. How could there even be thought of or discussion of a spiritual dimension, which is prevalent in actually advanced civilizations or all over the world since time immemorial? How could there even be a thought of such a thing, let alone a widely prevalent one, unless there is such a thing existed? So civilization means to apply our intelligence for dharma, which is nowadays often roughly, rather inaccurately translated as religion, because religion means a kind of faith, and dharma means to act in accord with our eternal spiritual position. So understanding our eternal spiritual position, that's the first thing, jnana, spiritual knowledge, understanding that and acting in accord with that, living in civilization in a way that we mutually cooperate, that is actual civilization. And even the most advanced spiritualists, they may, to a large extent, withdraw from the great endeavors of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and make that minimal so as to concentrate most of all on this, because we understand from the great spiritualists who have utilized their human form of life to delve deeply into the real questions. Who are we? Who is God? What is our relationship with God? We understand from them that life is, in this short human life, we should not increase our endeavors for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but we should minimize that and concentrate fully on understanding our spiritual nature. So some of the more advanced transcendentalists might appear to be uncivilized in as much as they don't dress in a very sophisticated way at all. And they don't make elaborate arrangements for decorating the body. And they don't, they may withdraw and not from and not partake in all the social affairs that are considered essential for civilized people. Since the beginning of the present upsurge of the Vaishnava or Krishna cult, which was at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some 5.5 centuries ago almost, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Vaishnava, the worship of Vishnu, it's eternal religion, but in human society it's sometimes more prominent and sometimes less so. Now, practically since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world and his teaching that human life is meant for God realization, nothing new in India, in the spiritual civilization of India, but he specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, introduced the understanding of Krishna as supreme and the chanting of Krishna's holy names as the best method of God realization in this falsely civilized age in which people think they're very civilized while they're increasing more and more arrangements for aggression against other humans and giving pain to other humans and giving pain to other animals. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this chanting of Hare Krishna. And since the inauguration of this Kirtan movement, of chanting of the holy names by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since its inauguration, people who consider themselves very sophisticated, we would say materialistic, they have been scornful of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna. And we saw that when Krishna consciousness came to the Western world in the 1960s, and this continued for some time, and this civilized people were shocked and they didn't like it. Many, some were appreciative. Many were, they felt some fear. What is this? When we have such a, when we have such an advanced civilization here in America, and why do our people, our own people, adopt something different? Why are they dressing in that strange style? It was very, very strange at the time to people who thought that civilization requires that one has to dress according to the dress code that they consider to be civilized. Why do they have this little thing on the back of their head, the men, and this marks on their face? I've got some extra today. Chandan Prasad from Lakshmi Narasimha Dev. And why when you meet people, you're always telling them to, you're always chanting Hare Krishna and telling other people to chant Hare Krishna. Haven't you got anything else to say? And what about your diet? At the time, the Krishna diet in the 1960s, in the robust meat-eating America, that was considered something very wrong by many people. The idea that we as human beings have made such a great civilization, and why are you being different? What is religion? Okay, all right. Religion, we're not against religion, but what is all this extremeness? We're human beings also, right? Why, what is all this extremeness of religion? We go to church, we say our prayers, we pay our taxes, but we should be we should uplift society, make the world civilized, and then religion is part of civilization. Not that civilization is based on religion; it's just part. And there was this idea which I remember in my school days, we used to hear this. I first started going to school, yeah, that would be in the 1960s. And we used to hear that education makes you civilized. And as we increase education all over the world, liberal, humanistic, civilized, I didn't hear those words when I was a little kid, but the idea was that as we increase education all over the world, people will become more and more civilized. And the people will have more and more opportunity to earn money and to live in a complex technological society. So this modern science-based education will make everything better. Religion, okay, but look, it's by man's own endeavors, by his intelligence. He's discovered so many scientific things and made so many technological improvements. Man is improving himself. All this religion, that's for people who really don't know what they're talking about. We will make heaven on earth. Well, you're imagining some heaven, which is never going to be there. We're making heaven on earth. But what is the reality? We see that with mass education, are people any happier? Are they more civilized? The technological advancement, yeah, but for what? For so many big brains are engaged in making more and more sophisticated weapons for making a huge multi-billion-dollar businesses, and the bottom line is killing those uncivilized people somewhere else in the world. Sophisticated civilization. Now we have the means to pump pornography into every home. Every kid can access pornography. As long as there's pornography, that's not civilization. No, not at all. It used to be that before the days of photography, in the name of art, sophisticated gentlemen would look at, they'd have paintings made, nude paintings of women mostly. And it might be some Greek goddess, so there's some pretense of being very classical, very civilized, but it's basically an excuse to ogle at an image of the female body. That's not high civilization. That's animalistic. And now, with the advancement of civilization, that is available to every little kid, even pre-pubal kids. So they get all their sexual hormones stimulated or before they come into play, before they should be. We should consider the Vaishnav outlook, as we learn from our guru. Yes, every civilized person should have a guru, a spiritual master, or gurus to guide them how to rise above the bestial urges. One may be clothed in a suit and tie, but his motive is how to find out a beautiful woman. Or nowadays it's very common, suit and tie is looking for another suit and tie with homosexuality. But we should consider, as our gurus have taught us, our guru, the guru of the Hare Krishna movement in the modern world, spread all over the world, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada referred to what was called civilization as animal civilization. Why? Because the same activities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. No inquiry into the nature of higher reality. Religion, yes, but religion is just for praying to God, let us O God, give us daily our daily bread and everything else that we desire. That's making God a participant in our animalistic endeavors. So real civilization is not this cat and dog civilization, as he would call it. He would say the dog is running on four legs and you're very sophisticated. You're running on four wheels with your fast cars. So is that really an improvement, that you have four wheels and the dog has four legs? It's just for going from one place to another. That's not civilization. He called it killing civilization because the killing is very prominent. And you'll find that in most of the so-called civilizations all over the world. One civilization becomes dominant over another by dominating other peoples and suppressing them, killing them, or killing enough of them that the rest of them accept their subordination. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada refers to the killing civilization because abortion has become largely accepted, and various sophisticated ways of killing babies in the womb. Mother killing civilization, he referred to it, because the cows, which are like our mothers, because they give us milk, which is what we drink when we're babies. So the milk comes from the mother. The cow that gives milk is the mother to a calf who is taken away for slaughter. Mother killing civilization. And so he had various terms of reference for this civilization. Why so condemnatory? Because we understand that just like civilizations come and go, it's all in the waves of time. Similarly, our own bodies, they come and go. We get different bodies. Now we have a human body. At other times in the past, we've had various subhuman bodies. The human body is a more sophisticated body, more sophisticated intelligence. The proper use of intelligence, a society which trains its members for the proper use of intelligence, how to properly direct its intelligence, that is an actual civilization. Because every civilization rests on education. What the children are taught, how they are acculturated, that shapes the whole civilization and its continuity. A civilization that teaches its members how to live in this world in a polite way, in a reasonable way, in a manner someone is trained as a statesman, someone is trained as a weaver, different kinds of vocational training, how to act in this world. Everyone has to do their bit. Everyone has to do their bit materially. Of course, there will be some who do their bit who are only spiritual leaders. There are those who cater to the spiritual needs of others, but everyone has a social role to play. So that education is there. But over and above that, real civilization means to teach what is the goal of life, which is to rise beyond birth and death and go to the spiritual world, understanding that life is full of suffering. It's not the apex of civilization to dress and speak in a very polished way. Polished animals, Srila Prabhupada would call it. Polished animals. So to have fine clothes and learn how to give speeches, public speaking, the science of rhetoric. What's the point when we're only here for a short time? And we should see that life, whatever species of life we're in human life, we have this God-given intelligence to understand that life is full of suffering, whichever species of life we're in. So the idea of having a civilization which does not address these problems, which does not aim at ultimate liberation from the cycle of repeated birth and death, that is not civilization. It's in the name of civilization, it's cheating ourselves. It's a mutual cheating policy by which we all cheat each other. Yes, yes, I'm very well, very fine. How are you? Nice to see you. But the real purpose of life, we're not investigating. And when people in this so-called civilization, when people take self-realization very seriously, then people who consider themselves civilization will mock those people. They will denigrate people for pursuing the actual goal of life. And even though in the name of civilization people may speak very politely and this and that, but in their heart they have other motives. They talk just like we find at the present time, and we coming out of the humanistic West. People talk about democracy and justice and liberty. Well, what is their program? Mass animal slaughter, mass child slaughter in the womb, and again making weapons for killing others, and now biological weapons. It was a fear. They're trying to keep the lid on biological weapons. Now it's out. Very advanced education and science produces biological weapons. Very intelligent people. Very demonic natured people create biological weapons. Or any weapons of which are meant for mass destruction of citizens. Even in the most spiritual civilization, some means of defense is required, because there will always be people who are envious. So a fighting class is required and a fighting science is required. But to create weapons of mass destruction, that's not civilized. You fight those who attack you, not the whole citizenry behind you. Real civilization means to know what is dharma and to practice it. Dharma, I use that word. Dharma also means, there are various nuances of this word, also means to act in a way that is sinless. In the humanistic civilization, they don't even believe in sin. They have their idea of ethics and morality, but that changes. 100 years ago, in most of the Western world, homosexuality was a punishable crime. Nowadays, it's a punisher in the same area of the world and the same. It was supposed to be the same civilization or continuity. Nowadays, to speak against homosexuality is a crime. What does that mean? It means that they don't know. They don't have any fixed standards. Before they thought we're the greatest civilization and we're against homosexuality. Now they think we're the greatest civilization, and one of the factors is that we're for homosexuality. It means they don't know. It's always changing. They're not in sync with the nature of the universe. There are higher principles, moral principles, but man doesn't cook them up by his own imagination. We may think so, But there is an order of the universe, and to get in line with the order of the universe's orders, that is called dharma. And to not do so, that is called sin. But what is sin and what is not sin? Just do whatever you do, whatever you like, as long as it doesn't harm others. That's what they say. But they don't know. There are higher laws. What is this civilization? A bunch of people living together in ignorance, living sinfully, making a show of being very humanistic, tolerant, and kind, and this and that, while destroying the planet, turning a blind eye to their mighty nations producing weapons of mass destruction for killing people far away on some other part of the world. Anyone who thinks that this is civilization is actually barbaric. It may not be that we have barbarians with crude clubs attacking each other, but actually that goes on. In London, the bastion of Western civilization, it's a dangerous place. There's so much knife crime. Any of the cities of the Western world, in America, there's so many murders. And so many murders means there are so many other shootings and other violent crimes which don't result in death. It's just some kind of mass hallucination or blind faith, yes, blind faith that our society is advanced. It's not advanced. Well, we have great educational institutions and so much, we have so much knowledge. Yeah, but what is that knowledge? That knowledge of how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in very organized ways. But what is the knowledge of who are we? Why are we suffering in this world? Who is God? What is the nature of God? That knowledge, that material knowledge, as we increase more and more and we give more and more importance to knowledge about our material situation, more and more it covers or obscures, obfuscates the need for understanding our eternal spiritual identity. In other words, as material education is emphasized more and more, then spiritual knowledge is relegated more and more. So it's actually a very unfortunate civilization. We think we're very fortunate to live in the apex of civilization, but it's a very unfortunate civilization. Human life is very short, and we should utilize it for the sake of understanding who we are, which means our spiritual nature. Otherwise, it's something like, okay, you check into a hotel and quickly you can familiarize yourself. Okay, here's my room, here's the bathroom, here's the dining area, and a few things you need to know. And then you stay. But forgetting why I came here and why did I come to this place? I'm on my way to somewhere else. I'm just stopping briefly, but I have somewhere else to do. My whole business is not how to live in the hotel and how to make my stay in the hotel more comfortable. You're going to go the next day. So, okay, you settle in. You do what's the minimal things needed to settle in. But our real business is not to live in the hotel, because anyway, we're not there. We're not going to stay there very long. What's the point of being there at all? We're on our way somewhere else. So in the same way in human life, we're on our way, on a journey in time. Where are we going? We don't even know where we're going. We're carried away by the waves of time. We act impelled by desire in the mind for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But we're meant for more than that. So material knowledge, we're not against it. We can use it. We can, just like we use, I'm taking advantage of all these technological arrangement to broadcast all this. You may say, well, you couldn't do that if people hadn't taken the time and trouble to discover and build all these things. All right, very good. Some people have that propensity and they've used it, but really the best use of it is to broadcast topics such as the one that I'm discussing. Otherwise, there's simply to broadcast all kinds of various topics which really have no relationship with who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with God. Then it is a misuse of human life and a misuse of human intelligence. We can use these things in the service of the highest truth, but we shouldn't think that because we have these things, there is no higher truth, or that the higher truth is unimportant. It is the only truly important thing, and propagation among people in general, that the real goal of life is not to live comfortably in this world, not to stop for one or two nights in a hotel, but to find out why we're suffering, to transcend that, to be in touch with our eternal, blissful, spiritual nature and go to the spiritual world to escape the cycle of birth and death. That is the proper use of human life, and that is the proper education, the proper culture that should be encouraged in an actual civilization. You have to die, and then modern science, so-called civilization, how will that help us? But the knowledge of who I am, what is my relationship with God, that will help us. So I didn't speak much of who we are and what is our relationship with God. Well, I'm just talking about the basics, the misconception of what is civilization, the non-civilization that poses as civilization. So who we are, what is our relationship with God? Well, just see any of the other several thousand talks on this channel. Read the books of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who brought the essence of the Vedic knowledge to the Western world, which was basking in its so-called civilized superiority, but was ignorant of the most basic spiritual knowledge. So read his books, very expertly presented in readable English. And what is the essence of that spiritual knowledge? You know, we're all eternal spiritual beings. Due to ignorance of wanting to enjoy ourselves in this material world, due to that ignorant conception, due to that misconception, we remain attached to this material world, birth after birth after birth. We can get free from this suffering and enter our real, blissful, true spiritual life, live eternally in the spiritual world in loving service to Krishna, which is a name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply God. And the prime means to do that is to purify ourselves to become eligible to enter the actual civilization in the spiritual world is the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the great chant for deliverance, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya trinakam padiyo nipatya kritvacha kakushata metata humbravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha Parivadatu jano yatata tava nanu mukaro navayam vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira matati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.